Welcome back. I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record, but we're not in the studio right now. I'm at the George Peabody Library on East Mount Vernon Place to see a new exhibit about Edgar Allan Poe. It's called The Enigmatic Edgar A. Poe in Baltimore and Beyond. And our guide is the exhibit's curator, Gabrielle Dean. Gabrielle Dean is curator of literary rare books and manuscripts for the Sheridan Libraries of Johns Hopkins University. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for coming.
You told me when we first talked about this exhibit that you expect it to shake up some of what we think we know about Poe, to defamiliarize him, you said. How so?
Well, there's a certain side to Poe that many of us know very well. We might read The Telltale Heart or some of his other horror stories in school or for fun at Halloween this time of year. But Poe was actually an incredibly versatile and innovative writer who did a lot of different things. He wrote in the genres of science fiction, he wrote detective stories, he was a book reviewer and a critic, he was an editor of magazines. He was basically trying out whatever he could to make a success of his life as a professional writer.
It sounds like he would understand the gig economy, the freelance economy we're living in now.
I think he was living the gig economy before we had a name for it, and he had to go where the work was. It was a story that I think a lot of us would understand very well today.
Is that why he came to Baltimore?
He came to Baltimore partly to find a family. He had been born in Boston. He was raised in Richmond by his foster family. He had a big falling out with them. He went back to Boston, and eventually he came to Baltimore because this is where his paternal grandparents lived, and the whole paternal side of his family. The Poes were a well-known family in Baltimore, and his grandfather was the quartermaster general during the Revolutionary War, was kind of a renowned figure. So Poe was looking for a place, I think, to call home. He was looking for a family. He also found his first public acclaim here because he entered a newspaper writing contest, and he won the short story contest for the Baltimore Saturday Visitor. So his short story, Manuscript Found in a Bottle, was published on the front page of that newspaper, and he won $50, which is a lot of money in 1833.
And you have that newspaper. Show me.
Yeah, we have that newspaper. And a newspaper that survived from this period is actually really, really rare because, of course, people don't save them. They throw them away. So the fact that this one has been saved for all this time by a series of different owners, I think, is really a testament to, you know, Poe's early appeal, that somebody thought it was worth saving.
Describe it to us.
Well, it's got, let's see, 7 columns across. It's got a beautiful kind of logo at the top and this very fancy 19th century writing that says Baltimore Saturday Visitor. And below the fold, but on the front page, it says Prize Tale by Edgar A. Poe.
And the tale was called?
Manuscript Found in a Bottle.
You also have the first book that he published. Show me that.
It's right over here in this case. So the Manuscript Found in a Bottle is in our section of the exhibition that is devoted to Baltimore. But Poe also, as I mentioned, he spent time in other cities as he was moving around looking for a place to call home. And when he got to Boston as a teenager, he published a bunch of poems under the title of Tamerlane and Other Poems by a Bostonian. It's the most humble-looking thing you ever saw. It's paper, it's sort of faded and a little bit dog-eared. There's a stain on the cover. It doesn't look very impressive at all, but in fact, again, because it was ephemeral, you know, something that people didn't necessarily keep, it's incredibly rare, and this book that we have on display here is one of only 12 known extant copies of this book.
So his first book, what kind of reaction did he get to it?
Absolutely none. So you can imagine how disappointing that was. This was really the culmination of all of his teenage poetic fervor. He finds a young printer to print it up for him. It was listed in a Boston magazine, but not even reviewed.
So he didn't even get a review?
Nope. I mean, in contrast to the way we think of Poe now as this major figure on the American literary scene, he really struggled in those early years to make an impact, which was one reason why he was so interested in shifting towards what the readers would be interested in. He really wanted readers.
This is WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record at the George Peabody Library on East Mount Vernon Place for an exhibit called The Enigmatic Edgar A. Poe in Baltimore and Beyond. I'm speaking with the exhibit's curator, Gabrielle Dean. Of the items in this exhibit that are not books and manuscripts, the sort of three-dimensional objects, what is your favorite?
My personal favorite is a daguerreotype portrait of Poe. It was taken a few weeks before he died. Most of the objects on display here, about 95% of them, come from the collection of a woman named Susan Jaffetane, who's been a Poe collector for several decades and has just amassed probably what is the world's finest private collection of Poe things, you know, artifacts and rarities that are not already in libraries and museums. And she acquired this daguerreotype. A daguerreotype is the first form of fixed photograph, and it's a single image on a metal plate. It has a very reflective surface. It's very mysterious, and I think it's very fitting as a vehicle for a portrait of Poe because it has this kind of evanescent quality and reflective quality, so you can look at yourself at the same time as you're looking at Poe.
But it is not the sort of wild-eyed picture of Poe that a lot of us think of when we think of an image of Poe.
Yeah, I mean, he looks actually kind of calm and a tiny bit sad, but not the super melancholy figure that we're used to. And that is one of the themes that we're trying to really bring to the surface here, that Poe had actually a pretty hard life. He had to move around a lot in search of work. His wife died at a very young age from tuberculosis. His mother died from tuberculosis. He had problems with alcohol. He lived in really dire poverty for most of his adult life. But that doesn't mean that's the whole story of what he was doing and living. You know, he was kind of elegant at different times in his life. He made a good impression on people. He was known for his fine taste. And he was this incredibly inventive writer who was really interested in science, what was going on with technology. The other reason that the daguerreotype is so interesting as an artifact is that Poe actually wrote some of the first articles explaining the photographic process. He wrote them for a newspaper.
You mentioned some of the sad parts of his life. I think a lot of us, I mean, we're still fascinated by his death on October 7th, 1849, the mystery of what caused his death. You've got some of the obituaries of the time. Let's look at those.
I mentioned that Poe was sometimes a kind of a harsh book reviewer, and in the early 19th century, that came at a price. In fact, he made some literary enemies that way. And one of them, this guy named Rufus Wilmot Griswold, wrote an obituary for Poe. It appeared in the New York Daily Tribune just 2 days after his death on October 7th, 1849 in Baltimore. And it says something like, you know, Edgar Allan Poe is dead. Some will be startled by this news, but few will be grieved by it, which is not a very nice way to begin an obituary. And it goes on and talks about Poe's bad temper and his alcoholism. He then expanded this biography of Poe in a memoir that he wrote in a four-volume edition of Poe's works that he published the next year. Now, how ironic is that, that Poe's literary rival ended up being the editor of his works and writing this biography that kind of became the standard story about Poe for several decades and really kind of soiled his reputation for American readers.
Part of the exhibit is comic books.
If you were a child in the 1950s and 60s, maybe you've seen some of these already, but one of my favorite emblems of how Poe has made his way into popular culture are these wonderful comic book versions, classics illustrated of stories like The Gold Bug and The Fall of the House of Usher and The Cask of Amontillado. We actually have some of the original artwork for those comic books in addition to the comic books themselves. To me, this is just an amazing example of how connected we feel to Poe. That more familiar side of Poe, the horror story side, we're not trying to take that away. We want to make sure that's represented here, too, and I think the comic books are a great example of that.
What is it you expect visitors to this exhibit to walk out knowing that they didn't understand coming in?
Well, I think for folks who are fans of Poe's more familiar works, like his horror stories and his poetry, there'll be more of Poe to enjoy. We'll maybe present them with some works that they didn't know about before, and they'll get to see them in their first form, how they look to Poe's initial readers. We have things like manuscripts of Poe's poetry that he was sort of drafting at the time. We have sheet music that shows how different composers over time have set Poe's poems to music. We've got interpretations of Poe's stories by wonderful artists and illustrators. So there's a lot here for everybody, I think.
I really appreciate your giving us a tour. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gabrielle Dean curated the exhibit The Enigmatic Edgar A. Poe in Baltimore and Beyond at the George Peabody Library on East Mount Vernon Place. The free exhibit is up until February 5th. We'll have more information on the record page at wypr.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening to On the Record. Back with you tomorrow.